The new play Medicine begins like this. A man named John Kane, who is in a kind of a psychiatric facility, enters a room that's still full of party decorations. He's sort of agitated to see that the room hasn't been cleaned up. Then an old man enters. Actually, he's not an old man at all, but a woman wearing an old man costume. Her name is Mary, and she's an actor and a sound tech. After that, a sliding metal door opens to reveal a lobster. Well, it's a woman in a lobster costume. Her name is also Mary. She's also an actor. We learn that the Marys have been hired for a kind of unconventional therapy practice. John has written a script narrating the key events of his life, and the Marys are there to act it out for him. But as the show within the show begins and we learn John's tragic story, the motive behind this therapy becomes more suspect. This unconventional play, exploring how we treat those struggling with mental illness, was written and directed by Irish playwright Enda Walsh. Walsh is equally adept at creating more absurdist work, like Medicine, and then Broadway blockbusters. He wrote the book for the musical Once. Starring in Medicine is the Tony-nominated actor Donald Gleason. You might know him from his films like About Time, Ex Machina, or Harry Potter, or from the HBO series Run. His performance as John Kane earned him rave reviews when the show ran in the UK. The Guardian said Gleason, in a performance of exceptional delicacy and intensity, seems to offer us John's soul, fragile, tentative, wounded. And now Medicine has crossed the pond. It's been playing at Brooklyn St. Anne Warehouse, and it's just been extended through December 12th. That's good news, Donald. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Alison. I really appreciate it. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Congratulations on being extended. I'm so glad more people are going to be able to see this play.
Yeah, we're really thrilled. It means we get myself and the cast, we all get a little longer in New York and another few days to do this play that we're all just incredibly proud of and happy to be a part of.
I read in an interview you did with the Irish Times that you shared work in Medicine. It's always been a priority for you over other projects you might be working on, either for TV or the big screen. What made you feel so strongly that this play was worth moving other projects around?
Well, Enda Walsh, is a very large figure in theater. Mm-hmm. He is an absolute favorite of mine. I've seen any of the plays that have been on that I've been able to see, I have seen. And I always laugh in a different way than I laugh at other playwrights' plays. And they always touch me very deeply in a way that I don't understand. And the opportunity to be a part of one of those plays from the beginning with him directing, with this amazing cast, and to be in from the ground floor and to see how he builds something that I don't understand, but that means so much to me. That wasn't something that I could pass up. And then the script itself, I just think, is exceptionally beautiful and empathetic and funny and ridiculous. And so, I mean, what the hell else do you want in a play? It's just everything that I love in theater.
There's a kind of blurring of reality that happens in the show. As you're watching, you're never quite sure what's actually happening. Is it happening in John's head? Is it real? Is it fantasy? Is it some combination of the two? What kind of conversations did you have with Enda about what's real?
Well, I think whatever happens, it's all real to John.
Right.
So in a way, my job was not to have those discussions. It's possible that Aoife and Claire, the other two amazing actors in the play, it's possible that they had longer discussions with Enda about what things meant. But really, the important thing for me was how they felt. Because, again, by the end of his plays, oftentimes I find myself wondering what the hell is happening now when I watch an Enda Walsh play. But what I've figured out slowly is that you need to let the play do its work on you. There's an old quote about E.E. Cumming or something like that, about like, don't try to understand the play. Let the play try to understand you. And in a way, that was my job on this, was just to keep doing it and keep trying it and keep trying new things until it meant something to me. And so as long as it means something, I don't need to understand it, I think.
Oh, E.E. Cumming's my favorite poet. So now that you've said that to me, I understand a little bit more about the play.
Oh, cool.
That's so
when I read that quote, I sent it to Enda years ago and I said, you should put this in the front of all of your programs. Like, I think it would help people to relax and try to stop putting structure on something which is meant to be felt and not necessarily understood,
My guest is Donal Gleeson. The name of the play is Medicine. It is at St. Anne's Warehouse until December 12th. So when you first enter the stage, the lights on the stage are on, and so are the lights in the theater, and then you turn off the lights on the stage, and then the lights in the theater, and then the stage lights go back on.
Hmm.
What is that moment about? How does that moment set us up for the rest of the evening and the rest of this story?
That's really funny. So it used to be slightly different. So in America, we don't have this thing that we have, or at least in St. Anne's Warehouse, which is this beautiful space, mm-hmm. they don't do like an announcement about turning off your play or turning off your phone rather right before the show starts. The show just sort of starts. So when we were in Edinburgh and Galway, everybody would know to go quiet because directly before the show starts, there's this announcement, the play's about to begin, please turn off your phone or you're going to ruin everything, you know. And here we don't have that. So I just walk on. It was a real surprise to me the first night. I walked on and people were still finding their seats and stuff. And it was like, but we're starting. But actually, that's what's going on in John's head. So rather than try to quieten people by lowering the lights in the theater or by whatever, John is preparing for a performance in the play. And he walks into a space which is not ready for a performance. That's the setup of the play. There's been a party in this mm-hmm. hall the night before. And the reason he turns off the light, I mean, you know, without explaining too much, but like the reason he turns off the light, I think, is he turns on the light going, this, I get to tell my story once a year. Here we go. And he turns on the light and the place is a shambles. So he turns it off quickly because this can't be right. This means everything is wrong. And my one opportunity to explain myself and tell people why I'm here, he gets flooded with, no, this isn't right. And when he turns it back on again, it's still the same. So that's what that moment is for me. But it is quite different in St. Anne's because I think the audience aren't ready either. Now, anybody listening to this will be ready. But I like that moment. I like it feeling like a false beginning.
Could you explain what the therapy is supposed to be or allegedly supposed to provide for John?
I can tell you what I think it means to John. I can't tell you what it definitely means in the play because Enda is his own man, his own wonderful man who, you know, I think keeps those cards close to his chest. Mm-hmm. For me, these two, so I think that once a year, this man gets an opportunity to explain where he came from, why he thinks he has ended up in this place, in this institution. And I think inherent in that is an asking to be understood and perhaps a request that if he tells his story clearly enough or empathetically enough, that he may be allowed to leave. Hmm. Or at least he will be given an answer for why they think he should stay there. And he gets to do this once a year to help do this. And he doesn't know who's out there. I think he imagines, I think it's like that two-way glass. I think that's what he thinks it's like. Mm-hmm. He's looking in a mirror, I think. He doesn't know who's listening, but he hopes there's lots of people out there in the audience. That's to me. And then these two actors, these two musical theater actors are hired to turn up, like day players almost, who turn up just to help him tell the story. But on this day, they're not really helping. They're more interested in auditioning and showing their skills and how great they are. And so they're not really there for him. They're there for themselves. And then there's also a drummer, a jazz drummer, which I think is probably new. This is a new element that they're throwing in. Maybe it's some new arts program and this jazz drummer comes in to help him tell his stories. And so he's accompanied by the jazz drummer. And I think it all ends up being too much for him. He wants to tell his story. And they want to show off. And I love that because it means that it's not about him.
Yeah, one of the Marys seems determined to make edits to the script to help her acting career take off. She rips out pages. She tells him to skip ahead, cross out paragraphs. And John protests a little bit, but he ultimately gives in. Why do you think why is John accepting these edits from Mary rather than arguing much?
Well, I think it's like being on stage. I think if somebody forgets a line on stage, you don't say out loud, you forgot your line. If there's a prop not on stage that should be there, you don't say somebody didn't put our prop out. You get on with it because there's an audience watching and you need to give them the best play possible. And I think if you only get this opportunity once a year and it probably occupies your thoughts for a lot of that year, and if what your job is to give a good impression of yourself and to be honest and true, I think those stakes are so high that there's no time to say, you seem quite selfish. I don't think you're here to help me. I think you're here to promote yourself. There's no time for that. But you must do is try to explain yourself, which of course is impossible.
You mentioned this live drummer on stage. Mm. How does that affect your performance, having this live drummer? Because sometimes it's, I mean, at sometimes it's almost, as a viewer, it's too much. It's just, it's so loud. And I can think like, oh my gosh, how much loud must this feel to the character?
Yeah, it is extreme. And depending on the night, you may get a slightly more quiet performance. We may be slightly more sort of together. And then other nights, I feel like I'm being bullied a little bit. And then other nights, I feel like I'm being beautifully supported. And actually, most nights, I feel a combination of those depending on the moment. And Sean is just this exceptional drummer, jazz drummer. And his one rule with Enda, Enda wrote it for all four of us, including for Sean, the drummer. It was that it can never, it just can't be the same. And so I think it's there to help me, to help John, to challenge John, the character I'm playing, and probably also to kind of help the actor. It's a wonderful gift to have somebody who forces you to be different every night, to respond differently every night, and to push you around. My character goes through a lot. Like, at the heart of it is empathy. At the heart of it is love, a kind of a suggestion that what we need to do is to care for people. And I think Sean's drumming is part of that too. At times he pushes me around, and at times he really looks after me. And I think that's kind of great. Like, it means it's different every night for every audience, which is a lovely thing.
So Sean plays differently every night?
Absolutely differently, yes. Yeah, yeah. Those, he picks up whatever sticks he feels like on the night, or whatever sticks he's holding. When the story starts, that's what he goes with. He's in the middle of tuning his drums every night when we start, and he's tuning them differently every night. And then depending on how he's feeling, depending on what kind of day he has, depending on what he's hearing from me on stage, from the girls, he will respond differently. And that, of course, means that I have to respond differently. I'm not sure how different it would be to an audience, but I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, it makes a difference, yeah.
My guest is Donald Gleason. The name of the play is Medicine. It is at St. Anne's Warehouse. Obviously, mental health and mental illness are at the heart, part of the story, very important part of the story. It's the catalyst for the whole thing. And Enda was partially inspired by an interview he watched with someone with catatonic schizophrenia. I'm curious, what kind of research, if any, did you do into mental illness or schizophrenia or any other sort of mental health complications?
So Enda sent me that video before he wrote the play, like almost a year before, and said, I'm interested in this person and how this person may have ended up where they are. And it broke my heart. And I thought, well, but I can't, you know, the audience won't know that. And so I should just read whatever he sends me. And then when he sent it to me, it just felt, I didn't feel like I needed, because this person is their own person. He's not just a diagnosis. He's not anything else. He's there for a bunch of reasons, which are kind of in the play. And so I felt I could just be me, essentially, with the only differences being the ones that are explained in the play. So I decided to play it as myself, essentially, with these small differences that Enda has described. And that seems to have taken me far enough. Enda never seemed to think that there was anything else necessary. I mean, I watched some documentaries that really messed me up about institutions as opposed to about the people themselves, and about, I think, yeah, I mean, some very upsetting stuff. But it felt like it was enough just to bring whatever humanity I could try to bring to it. That felt like the important aspect. You know,
that's interesting. Well, why was your instinct to watch film about the institutions? What questions were you looking to find some answers to?
Well, because I've never, personally, I've not been in an institution, and just the damage, the one that really stuck out in my head was from many years ago, and it involved a show that was being put on by the people who were being kept there, that they were putting on. And it just seemed so about the wrong people. It seemed about an opportunity to show off for the people running the institution and the people who were doing the thing. I just thought, oh my God, they're being left behind. And it was good to, and then you also see them in their natural state, and the way they're treated by the people who work there. This is a different time, obviously, but it was inhumane. And just being reminded of that, I thought, was important, about what somebody may have to go through is it any wonder that somebody is finding it hard to be human when they are treated so inhumanely?
There are reenactments, and we learned a bit about John's early life, that his parents weren't particularly loving or even, you know, attentive at the important moments. He had a hard time making friends. He gets awfully bullied in a very sad scene. What is a detail from the script that really helped you understand this character?
As opposed to the damage done, it was the moments of love given that meant the most to me. So there are a couple of moments over the course of the play where he is shown real care. And those were the moments that made me want to do it. I wouldn't be able to watch something, I don't think, which was just abuse. Like, the play is really funny. So it yeah. puts all these really funny moments and it crashes them into moments of strangeness and then moments of deep empathy and love. But it's the moments of love and care that spring out and that keep me walking into work every day with a spring in my step, because I'm glad that that's what we're bringing to people. After the last couple of years, nobody wants to be mistreated in a theater either, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you just want love. So it's the moments. There's a moment of dance and there's a moment of closeness that mean a lot to me, and sort of protecting those. They're the moments that I kind of don't want to talk about them, because when you shine the spotlight on them or explain them, perhaps they become less meaningful, but they keep me going to work. Yeah.
I'm glad that you mentioned that it's funny, because although there's all of this drama and this a lot of emotion, it's also very comedic. There's the Marys bring a lot of funny to the show. We're never laughing at John. I just want to make that clear. What is a moment or a line in the show that you always find funny?
Claire is dressed as a lobster. Like, it's the most amazing lobster costume. And again, I don't want to give anything. But this one line where Aoife says, why are you dressed like a lobster? And she says, I don't really want to talk about it. It might come across as arrogance. And there's something about that just absolutely kills me. Just the lack of self-awareness that really gets me. But like, you know, when I do it, it's not funny. When Claire says it, it's hilarious.
There's a couple of reoccurring themes and statements and issues and props even throughout the show. Throughout the play, both Marys are drinking something called, is it Lucozade?
Lucozade, yes.
What is that?
It's like a fizzy Gatorade. They sort of like, they have Lucozade and Lucozade Sport back in Ireland. And it's this sort of like sports drink. And it's like, if you were sick, somebody might give you Lucozade, but it's also like just a soft drink that you're supposed to drink for pleasure, but it tastes slightly medicinal, and it would, like, on a hangover, a Lucozade would be good. And Lucozade Sports sponsors all these people. It gives you electrolytes and all the rest of it as well, but it's very sweet. And it's really funny because, like, everybody talks about how horrible Lucozade is in the play, but I ended up towards the end of the run in Galway just trying to keep my energy up, like downing bottles of the stuff before I walked on stage. So I realized I was falling weirdly into Enda's world, whether I liked it or not.
My guest is Donal Gleeson. The name of the play is Medicine. It is at St. Anne's Warehouse. It's an Irish play, Irish playwright, Irish actors. Is there something that the play is exploring that's very particular to Ireland that maybe audience seeing the show in Brooklyn might not catch, or someone who is Irish in Brooklyn who's sitting in the audience will get and understand?
There are mentions of Lucozade and my waddy and all these sort of, like, you know, Irish things. And I think that it is a particular, whenever people talk to me about Irish humor, they talk about tragedy and humor being particularly close in Irish humor. And I was never quite sure if I agreed with that, but presenting this to an American audience, I can really feel it. There is discomfort at times, you know, that line between the very funny and then the very sad. And Enda really puts them close beside each other. Like, he really rams them up right beside each other. And I love that. But there's a danger in the air as a result. There's like a threat hanging over it that keeps it from being maudlin or sad or anything like that. In terms of what's going to happen next, that's the thing that feels that this particularly Irish tragedy humor crammed against each other. That's what the play is to me. And so maybe that would feel particularly Irish to me, but I'm not sure if you would agree. I don't know.
You're very emotional during the performance. There's moments when John is overwhelmed, screaming, yelling, you're perspiring. What are you doing to take care of yourself? I don't mean to sound like a tis-tis lady, but what are you doing to take care of yourself, Donald?
Well, I'm on stage with three phenomenal performers who really look after each other and look after me, and I hope that I try to look after them. Enda created a really gorgeous working environment. He's a very generous man. The play itself is generous. The play gives you hope, I believe. I think that's important. And it being funny helps. And then, but then I'm also sleeping for like 11 hours a night and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, so that just, you just got to get your energy. You just got to not do much else apart from the play, you know, look after your voice. I'm drinking a lot of throat coat. I don't know if you're allowed to do any advertisements on your show. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's allowed, but if Throat Coat want to send me some free tea, I'll shout about Throat Coat from the rooftops, which would be actually a really good advertisement. But yeah, just drinking a lot of tea and looking after my voice and stuff. And then talking to the people I love, all that sort of stuff. But like, it's a gift to do an Enda Walsh play. Like Enda Walsh, I think of as being like Beckett. I think he is deeply special. I get to do this like maybe once in my life. We get to do this play in New York once in our lifetimes. So that's enough to keep going. There's no sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. You can't. Why the hell would you? I'm working. I'm an actor who's working. God, I'm so lucky, you know?
And you've got your throat coat, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm great. I'm great. Yeah.
The name of the play is Medicine. It is at St. Anne's Warehouse through December 12th. I've been speaking with Donald Gleason. Donald, it was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.